This is a message from Stockholm Life Church. Feel free to visit us at our website at www.stockholmlife.se.
This was a long time ago, but it was envisioning how it would be if Jesus had come to Earth during our modern day, like the 90s. It shows you when I wrote this message. But although the message was horrible, it was just like, it was poorly written, and I remember, what was I thinking? This didn't make sense. But the idea that Jesus would be dressed in a way that other people would understand who he is, and that he came to be with everyday people instead of just the elite, that's what my heart was. And honestly, I think that's exactly where it still is, because I saw that's how it was way back when. Now, these guys will be talking, they'll be discussing whatever they're doing, and I'm going to be brief today. Cool? The rest of you are, yeah. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. If you could go there with me, that would be great. The way that I've seen Jesus, or at least through the eyes that I've used to look at Jesus' life and how he came to earth and how he's affected other people, is that he came in a way, and I'm going to finish my thought that I've had for the last 3 weeks, of that Jesus did not go directly to the throne room. He wasn't born into a palace, but he chose a way to come as a servant in order to transform not only just like the elite class, but he really wanted everybody to hear the message about who he was. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. I wrote the wise men there. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So this is after Jesus is born. This is after the wise men had visited. And we pick up the story with Joseph having a dream. This is odd. Honestly, I mean, why did Jesus choose this path? This is the path of the most resistance, isn't it? It would have been so easy for him to be a baby born into a golden diaper there inside of this great palace, and everybody's automatically worshiping him just out of his name alone. But you'll see throughout his life, it's almost like he's proving constantly in the face of people who doubt that he is doing exactly what he's supposed to do, what he hears his father calling him to do. So he got up, took the child, this is Joseph, and his mother, Mary, during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Matthew, as a writer, was constantly trying to prove to the Jews, this is the guy that we've been waiting for. And so you'll see he's saying, this prophecy was fulfilled here, and this prophecy was fulfilled here. So that's where we see that. Matthew 2, we're continuing on, verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, as the wise men were supposed to go back and report to Herod, the king at the time, that they had seen this baby, or that they had found this baby king, Herod had in his heart murder. He secretly was planning to find this baby, whoever this king was, and kill him. Because that meant that Herod would not be king any longer. So, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. You see, he's talking about all these things that are fulfilled. He wants to prove this to captive Israel, that this person is here. The one we've been waiting for is here. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. I mean, with all these 2 years old and under, losing their life. Weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Very poetic, but the heart of it is there is sadness because Israel's losing children. There was one who escaped all this, and that's Jesus. I mean, You think about that, just in this one town, the impact that that would have on a people group. One town, two and under, gone. And how devastating that was. It doesn't make sense, guys. He could have been born into a palace, and we could have avoided all this heartache. But, of course, it's never God's will that these things should happen. Never. God gives life. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Okay, so this is dream, the sequel, you know. Now they're in Egypt, and this is the dream. And said, get up, take this child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And this is the third prophecy that's fulfilled here, just in this short amount of scripture. So was fulfilled that what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So let's recount and be done with the message for today. Jesus was born into a manger. He was not born into a palace. We understand that. If he would have been born a king, as far as the way that people viewed him and the way that Israel was expecting the great commander that he would have been in the military sense, then him, his relationship to the Romans would have been one of war. Because he would have strengthened up his army in Israel, and Rome, who was threatened by Israel, they would have gone to war right away. So Rome would have known Jesus as a great commander and a great warrior, and potentially a threat to their existence. Jesus, you watch through his life all the way through, if you want to read through the Gospels all the way to Easter time in April, you can watch the way that he weaves in and out of people groups and how he gets to know people while he's walking. He's always going out. He's always going out to other people. Very few times is it, the people will come to me. The people will come. He always goes out, showing us that he is a grassroots leader. He cares personally for the people that he's looking at. He cares for the children to come to him. If he was a king, kings have guards, right? Even the smell of that he would become a king that people could not access, he didn't like. When his disciples had started to build up an organization around him and say, well, those kids can't come here right now. It's one of the famous parts in Scripture is where Jesus says, let them come to me. This always has been about accessibility to Jesus. If he had been born a earthly king, this wouldn't have worked the way that we see it. His church would have been totally organized in a different way. The way that I see it, he's serving, he's serving, he's serving. He's healing, he's helping, he's teaching people how to love each other, and he's righting the wrongs that people have set up. The Jewish people had bureaucracy within them, and he wanted to teach them to start loving again and not just to have order. And I don't think he would have accomplished that had he been born into that palace, into his golden diaper. I knew that you guys would like that. But I'm extremely thankful for the moments that he had where he was eating, he was hanging out with people who were the worst of sinners. In those times and in our times, people who had sold themselves, he welcomed in and he wanted to hang out with them. That's the Jesus that I serve. Because at my worst, he loved me. There's this wonderful part of Scripture that I don't think fits into this message at all, but I read it last night for my kids. And it was where Mary Magdalene, came in with a perfume, and in two different parts of Scripture, once is where they dump it on his feet, or she puts it on his feet, and another it's on his head. And I think Judas, you know, the one who sells him out, says, "We could have sold all that perfume that you dumped on his head. I mean, we could have given that money to the poor," even though I secretly don't think Judas was thinking about giving that money to the poor. But Jesus says, what she has done is going to be made famous, and people will hear about it, because somebody, it's almost like rejoicing. She humiliated herself in the presence of many people, because she loved him and she saw who he was and that he loved them. She couldn't have done that had it been a king in a throne room who had a contingent around him. Jesus has always been about accessibility, and I believe that we are to be also. So during this Christmas season, I ask that you don't have a ring of guards around your heart, but I'd ask that you'd be open in loving other people. Drop your guard. Allow yourself to be transformed by loving other people, even though it might be you might be fighting thoughts in your head that, well, last time I cared about somebody, I really got hurt. Open your heart up again. God will supply the love that you need. I believe that the difficulties that Joseph went through just in making sure that this baby that he had not fathered continued to live. What a generous man. That's so impressive to me. But he was willing to go wherever God called him to. For Joseph, he needed to have a dream, very, very clear. If you need to have a dream, I pray that you just ask God, God, reveal yourself to me in a way that I can't ignore, because I know that your plan is better than my plan. And that's what the case was here. Jesus was born into a struggle, but he saw that the struggle was worth it. That's the Jesus that I serve. So if you're in the middle of a struggle, however all this works out in these next 2 weeks while you're with family or friends, love them. Please love them. And if you're in a struggle in your life wondering what God wants from you, just submit. Just go, God, I know you came to ransom, to save people. I know that you came to take care of people who are prisoners. I'm a prisoner in my situation, God. Come and free me from that. Show me what I need to do practically, but also, God, I pray supernaturally that you would have your way and you would order my steps. Let's pray. Close out our time together. God, as we're about to eat and drink coffee and tea and hang out, get to know each other even better, I thank you for the opportunity to discover who you are and to live our lives together. That's what our church was based on. That's what it's going to continue to be. And God, we welcome people. We welcome people, and we pray that we can get them to you as fast as is possible in Stockholm. I thank you, God, for the struggle that Joseph and Mary went through, because they saw that you were something absolutely amazing, Jesus, and that you were important to the world. They did everything they could to preserve you, to get your message to be spoken out. So thankful for people who have gone before us. And now, God, bless our time together. I pray that you would, if there's any timidity in our lives as we meet family, help us to be open to loving other people. Help us to break down the boundaries that we have and to see that your vision was always to go out, God, to reach new people. Thank you for that, God. In your name, Jesus, amen.
This is a message from Stockholm Life Church. Feel free to visit us at our website at www.stockholmlife.se.